show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I want to go to a place where everybody knows my name.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for April 14th, 2010. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Hi, Rickon.
What movie was that from again?
Some people call it a sling blade. I call it a Kaiser blade.
Okay. That's what it was. I knew it wasn't... I knew it wasn't the Big Lebowski.
All right, Dan. All right. Go on.
We'll get into that in just a little bit. We want to remind you that this show is brought to you by the good people over at Citrix, who bring you GoToAssist Express, the wonderful diagnostic tool that helps you reach out and help other people with their computer problems by seeing what's on their screen, file transfers, chat, one-touch diagnostics. You know, we've been telling you this for a long time, and it's about time you try it free for 30 days by going to GoToAssist.com/techpodcast. It's secure. It's free for 30 days. GoToAssist.com/techpodcast. Can't beat it with a stick.
GoToAssist.com, or we'll go to and your house and beat you with a stick.
No, don't be threatening people. You're going to get us booted off this ad campaign.
Oh, wait a minute. We should kill them with kindness. That's right.
That's right. Help them, help us, help you, help them.
Yes.
Whatever that means.
But don't help yourself.
I could have put the graphic on the screen while we were talking about them. But you know what? We're going to go ahead and go into the rest of the show.
Use GoToAssist to actually go back to your own machine.
Should we take a break? You know, we have so much stuff in here. We actually need to take a break, or should we just keep plowing on?
Just keep plowing, man.
Let's keep plowing. All right. Craig loaded this show full of good stuff, so we want to make sure you get maximum content. We're going to jump right into the chat room and see what they've been up to. Every week we have a chat room and a live stream and all that good fun. And these people like to play pranks on us by changing their chat handles around. If you haven't been in the chat room, you got to go there. Sunday nights, 8 p.m. 9 p.m. Central, excuse me. I'm still off.
What time
9
is it?
p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, Sunday nights. Mm-hmm. You can join us in the chat room. I just am not getting it. Once again, LOL looks like 101 to me in the chat room. In the chat room, we have Gru, Test Mad? You and me and AD Dude and Ben Vaughn and Claudio No Theme, or No The Me. He's got the capitalization. Well, no, the meat. Captain Robotic Ninja Deb Drop. Linda Mills is joining us. Woohoo.
Hello, Linda.
Hi, Linda. She used to be the editor of Podcast User Magazine and just a wonderful lady.
It's good to see you there virtually.
Liam's Pop, Mad Marv, Mighty Joe, and Overtax Tim.
Aren't we all?
Oh, man. In case you're listening to this a little late, tax day in the U.S. is coming up. Better get to work.
Yeah, I think this will come out right before taxes, so you got one day.
April 14th. Go for it.
Yeah.
This is our tax show.
It's taxing.
It's taxing us. That is a fact.
Yes.
That is a fact. Turning to the birthday calendar, it looks like we have two of them this week. On the 14th, we have Danny Harnish. Happy birthday to him. And on the 18th, Scafey. You know, we haven't seen Scafey in the chat room or heard from him in the email.
No.
Long, long, long time.
Time to get back in there.
Oh, suddenly, I feel like playing Boston. It's been such a long time. If it's your birthday and you didn't happen to get on the birthday calendar this week, we wish you a happy birthday and all the best to you this next week. Have a great one, and let us know. Put your name on the birthday calendar. We'll catch you next time around. Go to chuckchat.com/wiki and get your name on there. We would love to call out your name, regardless of what time of year it is. We don't have to wait till next year to do this. If your birthday's the following week, hurry up. Go do it now.
Yeah, I want to see 100 birthdays in next week or the next time we record.
Okay, go to Facebook. Pull up a calendar.
Pull up the calendar.
Just start naming off strangers. That'd be lovely. We have news.
Bad news, everyone.
Oh, I don't think it's that bad. Do you?
No. No, it's not bad news. It's just the news that it's National Robotics Week as well as taxes.
It is National. Well, it was. No, wait. It's the 10th through the 18th of April. What days does that make it? Saturday to Sunday? No, Saturday.
Saturday to Saturday.
Saturday to Friday.
Sunday. You're Sunday. Right. It's the entire week, yeah.
Well, National Robotics Week is 8 days long.
8 days a week. His robots are really working for you, man.
I'm not sure I trust those robots very far.
We calculated and added an extra day to the week.
Came up with that. The purpose of National Robotics Week, and we get this from, of course, nationalroboticsweek.org, if that wasn't a good domain to register for this.
Yeah.
And coincidentally, I believe the finals for the first competition in Florida were that last weekend.
Yes.
The 10th and 11th.
Did we talk about, there was a video of Dean Kamen. He was actually on, on Colbert's show. And he had his robotic arm on for the guy that, it was the same kind that developed for, as a prosthesis for people that lost their limbs, for the arm.
Oh, that's
and he was
cool.
talking about that. And he mentioned the first competition because they're a sponsor, aren't they?
He invented it. In fact, if you look for the word first, FIRST, in Google, mm-hmm. that will come up every time at the top of the list.
Well, that's why he was on there talking about. He was talking about that and the prosthesis and all that kind of stuff. So,
okay. The purpose of the National Robotics Week is to celebrate the U.S. as a leader in robotics technology development, educate the public about how robotics technology impacts society, both now and in the future. Advocate for increased funding for robotics technology research and development and inspire students of all ages to pursue careers in robotics and other science, technology, engineering, and math-related fields. You know, I was watching the Masters tournament this last week, and it was partly sponsored by IBM, AT&T, and the Phil Mickelson Foundation or something. They were running mm-hmm. a lot of commercials about how kids should go, encourage them to be tinkerers, and then they'll be like engineers and scientists. And it was kind of cool to see that stuff going on. So the future of our Technorama listenership mm-hmm. is well in hand with the good help of Phil Mickelson.
Unfortunately, they weren't watching it. The Masters.
No. What, the kids? No, this was an ad for the parents to encourage their kids to tinker.
Oh, good. Well, you know what's, hey, by the way, today, we were at the bowling alley and we were, playing a little bit bowling, and on the screen was, of course, Tiger Woods and the Masters. And I couldn't help but, they have the closed captioning on, so I'm kind of reading what they said, and I couldn't help. And I know that this is, I don't mean to just bash on Tiger, but I couldn't help but read in euphemisms for everything they were saying about Tiger. Like his tee was a little up.
I don't. You can't. You probably can't see it on the webcam, but here's teach yourself WordPress in 10 minutes, sitting right on the mixer, right mm-hmm. under this netbook, this green thing, mm-hmm. is Tiger Woods' book, How I Play Golf. I just
you're waiting for
that.
The sequel. How I no.
Now, he did all right in the Masters last weekend. Yeah. He was
okay,
a little
erratic.
What?
I'm sorry. I don't quit beating him up. But
all right, let's.
By the way, one other thing they said was he's not too excited and he's not too ruffled. Okay, let's move along.
Moving along, we've got a man that took an old mail U.S. mail Jeep and converted it into an old Colonial Viper.
You know what?
It's street legal, too. I got to put this on the webcam. This is just
It looks like, the Colonial people actually made it to Earth and they were trying to blend in.
So they put wheels on it.
Actually, when I saw this, the first thing that came to mind was the Galactica 1980. But they had motorcycles.
Nice. Nice.
Which is sad.
Some guy went and made a Colonial Viper starfighter from Battlestar Galactica out of an old Postal Service Jeep, a bunch of other crap, and a small block Chevy V8. Hey,
is that a small block
tool, just saying. Guys.
Hey, is that the technical read, by the way?
Yeah.
Bunch of crap.
That's from Geekology.
Okay.
The picture's captioned, "Eat my dust, Cylons. Guy makes street legal Viper starfighter from Battlestar Galactica." That thing wouldn't fit in the garage. Where do you put this?
It's long.
And isn't that a roller coaster in the background?
Yeah, it looks like they're at a theme park or something.
Look how many spots he takes up. He's like in three handicap stalls.
I'll say handicap no less. Wow.
He'll get three tickets.
Maybe that's not a theme park. It's just his backyard.
He built it out of old roller coaster parts. That's the other crap.
Yeah.
All right, what's this PDF you sent me?
Okay, this needs a little background. Remember, we were talking about all the popular sciences that were online now through Google Books. All the old backlogs from popular science. Well, you know, we had mentioned that there were some ads in the back, the classified ads, and one of them was the anti-gravity.
Oh, ad. Wait! And before you get into that,
hacks and strange stories.
Thanks, Lenny.
Lenny was feeling a little left out.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, for a long time I kept thinking, man, it'd be awesome to have, you know, anti-gravity. I could fly like Superman kind of thing. And when I was a kid, but I never sent off for the brochure. Well, I was talking to a guy at work about it, and he was mentioning making a hovercraft with a lawnmower engine that was also classified in there. And I pulled up one of the issues I had stuck on my Google Books library shelf. And I looked in the classified. There was his ad he was talking about right below it. But I started looking, and, you know, I'm not that far from Concord, North Carolina. And the ad's address for that anti-gravity free brochure was in Concord. So I went, oh. So I started plugging the address in to Google along with the name of the free brochure thing. I found it. Somebody actually published it.
Here's the order form. It says, "Yes, I'm tired of being ripped off by the energy companies. Please rush me a copy of the free energy secrets. I understand that if I am dissatisfied for any reason, I may return it for a full refund." And there's a checkbox that says, "I have enclosed $15 for each copy of free energy secrets." I have to shout because it's in all caps. "Delivered via special fourth class book rate mail in the United States and Canada." Now, the other checkbox says, "I've enclosed $20 per copy, $15 for free energy secrets, plus $5 for air mail delivery to any place in the world."
Wow.
Okay. Hey, energy shortage. I just want to read a little bit of this. "Energy shortages are threatening our very survival. Supplies of conventional fuels appear to be running out. Oil companies raise prices. Conservationists advocate unreliable solar, wind, and water power. Conventional scientists pursue the elusive goal of nuclear fusion." Notice that it's nuclear, not nuclear, Sarah Palin. "Meanwhile, Dr. J. Franklin Kilpatrick is working on free energy. This is not solar, wind, wood, methane, hydrogen, geothermal, or any other conventional means of producing energy. It is a totally new source of energy, which violates no known laws of physics." Well, that's a nice disclaimer.
Yeah.
"The theoretical concepts are extremely complex and closely related to the fundamental quantum structure of matter. However, the average high school student can construct a simple energy-producing working model for under $15. Is this the old potato thing?
Yeah, it's probably is.
That's when he mentions the any high school student can do it.
Hey, well, scoot down to page 6. Now we're talking about
anti-gravity propulsion devices.
Let me read this beginning part, there's two paragraphs right here. "Anti-gravity is a hot item today. Flying saucers, UFOs, and strange experimental government projects are all hinting at the nearness of anti-gravity." We think that NIPD2 is a hot item too. Also, NIPD stands for Net Inertial Propulsion Device. NIPD.
NIPD means anti-gravity.
Our proposal employs a net inertial force field that which can be directed and to counteract the overcome the force of gravity.
Wow.
Hey, look at the bottom. Act now. Remit $20 check or money order for all for the blueprints and how to do it.
We should get that and bring it to Dragon Con.
I'd like to do it just for the show. I don't know if they're still there. Actually, I thought about showing up, but it's at a PO box.
Something.
Yeah.
All right, back to the world of reality.
Hey, what do you mean? What is that supposed to mean, Chuck?
It means I got to make more brochures. We can get some money out of this.
Actually, you know, it did. I mean, now it reeks of scam, but at the time, I just thought it was romantically thinking, "Wow, this would be awesome."
All right, this is
free
from
energy is a bonus. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Inquisitor.com. This is steampunk awesome.
Yes, it is.
This man made a computer workstation that's all steampunk. It's called, does he give it the Victorian Organ Command Desk? It's got three monitors. Two of them are in kind of a portrait mode, and one's in landscape. It's got horn speakers off to the side. This thing looks like you're ready to play some kind of steam pump organ thing.
Yeah, you know what? I think to operate this, you have to actually have one of those handlebar mustaches, you know, you kind of twirl. Actually,
is this what you and Victor were going on Twitter about last weekend?
Yeah, he said you can't operate this without a train. And I said, yeah, and a woman and tied up to on the tracks.
And what else did he say? And an evil laugh.
And a dog that laughed, you know, dog sidekick.
Now, check it out. There's like two little scientists or something in the next between the left and the middle monitor. Oh, there's another one.
Oh, yeah.
There's like little action figures down there. It's probably like Einstein, Edison, and you know,
Doc
Faraday
Brown.
Or Doc Brown. The guy from Warehouse 13.
Yeah, this was taken off the train that Doc Brown flew in on.
The only part that's not steampunk is his iPhone dock.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah. He ought to use that skin that I have on the iPod video.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, with the gears
here
and whatnot.
It is. It's now relegated to the museum shelf. Let me bring that up on the camera. Yeah,
The steampunk iPod. Yeah, that's kind of cool. It's got it's like three screens, right?
There. Yeah. I mean, who can say not cool to a three-screen workstation?
Wait a minute. It says everything decked out in this command desk compilation is authentic Victorian antique. Then be it the inverted chapel organ pipes mounted on the wall behind the setup and are all in one workstation desktop, complete with three monitors, printer, scanner, webcam, and of course keyboard and other peripherals included. Victorian organ commander desk beside the aforementioned has an iPhone dock, horn speakers on either side, USB and card media readers, a scanner under the keyboard, a dock or a clock face flanked with six LCD digital picture frames.
It displays a pair of coach lamps with neon flicker bulbs for all that ambiance required. That's
kind of
cool.
Neat.
All right, what else?
Looks like you can do something very evil there.
Yeah, you're right. You need a handlebar mustache to operate it.
Yeah, I'll keep one near. I'll just glue it to my face when I go to use the computer. Take it off when I leave.
Excellent.
Yeah. What's that, dear? Oh, nothing. Put it back on.
All right. Over at Gizmodo, they got a picture of a guy with a new iPad. And you know what he's using as his iPad stand?
His MacBook. He's got his MacBook
that's really
propped
sad.
Open a little bit so he can lean his iPad across.
You know,
it's kind of sad, isn't it?
It is.
You know what? Bonus points for being at the Genius Bar when he's doing it.
Yeah. That would be rich. Oh, here we get a shot funny. Of that on the webcam too. Just a lot of fun. Yeah, that is a major MacBook fail. Or is it an iPad fail? Or is it a user fail?
Both.
Both. I gave you three options. There's not a both in there.
Yes. About that.
Okay. What doesn't fail? And I want one of these. It's a laundry folding robot.
Yes. He can fold towels.
At least it tries. And it's fun to watch because it picks up about five towels or rags or something out of this pile and picks it up in its right hand, kind of rotates it 360 degrees, puts in his left hand.
It, I think.
Yeah, it's scanning for corners. You know what it's doing. But just the fact that it can do that is amazing. Then it finds the corners, holds one in each hand, goes over to this other table and folds it up. It's like, hey,
I'm sorry.
Sweet.
Hey, wait a minute. By the way, I'm sorry, just to drop back for a second. That with the dude propping up his laptop.
Yeah.
Claudio and Gru in the chat room referred to it as an eye fail.
Definitely an eye fail.
Okay, I'm sorry, the robot.
Back to the robot. The towel folding robot. Let's see. Project led by UC Berkeley PhD student Jeremy Maiton Shepherd, working with Professor Pieter Abiel. I'm just going by what it says. Video shown at 50 times the speed. Okay, it ain't the quickest towel folding robot.
I think they show it for just a moment at regular speed, and then they speed it up.
No, it's probably analyzing that slowly. Because you can see it switches hands real quick, and then it goes over to the other table. But they need to beef up the CPU on this thing.
Need input.
It folds five towels in 2 minutes. So if it's at 50 speed, it would take about 20 minutes per towel. That's not realistic.
No, but it's a start.
But then again, you know, if it's like the Roomba and it's just doing it by itself, who cares how long it takes?
Yeah.
Go to work, come back, towels folded.
Well, you know, have you ever seen the show Astro Boy?
Mm-mm.
Okay, and the TV show, you know, it's always... It's like humans versus robots, and the robots are, it seems like they try to make them out to be like a slave race, and they want to be free. So okay. Astro is always fighting for the freedom, you know, for equality with robots. And I was watching this like, well, we are enslaving robots. Get them folding our towels.
One robot that's not likely to fold towels is Grant Imahara's skeleton robot.
Did you see the video
Craig
for this?
Ferguson. I started watching about the first half of it.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Grant Imahara was on the Late Late Show. This is what, the UK version?
No, this is Craig Ferguson. He's on there on CBS.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't stay up that late. I don't watch late night TV.
Yeah, no, he was on Craig Ferguson was on the Drew Carey Show. He was his boss for a while. And,
okay.
And anyway, so he has a talk show on here. He's been here for a while, but the joke has been that he doesn't have a budget for a band or a sidekick. So recently he had the Mythbusters on, which I think we may have mentioned it. I don't remember, but and he asked Grant Imahara to make him a robot, a sidekick.
So he made
him a robot sidekick, and he named it Jeff Peterson. And it has a limited vocabulary, but it does move and talk. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, he put servos in there for the chin and the head and the arms. So, yeah, Grant was explaining it to him, and he makes some wisecracks. It's kind of funny.
What's funny is one of the things is my favorite is Dolly Parton. And the other thing was he raises his arm up and says, "Who is that at the door?" So it's a little cornered, or you know, it's going to corner the robot into some weird conversations, but you're making have fun with it.
Yeah, if it was me, I would have been tasteless and called him Ed McMahon.
Aw. Ed McBot. Ed McBot. McBot. Man. Bot. All right.
A lot of fun with that.
Anyway, check him out. He's got a metal mohawk, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was rather interesting. Over in the media corner, yeah, we are... all right, we'll play the song. Why not?
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
You look scared.
first news up in the media corner is that Netflix now has Star Trek 2, Wrath of Khan, 3, Search for Spock, 4, The Voyage Home, and First Contact available in their instant streaming queues. Let's let out a resounding cheer.
Well, other than
oh, yeah, okay, that's enough.
Other than Star Trek 2, well, I sort of say they're kind of. I started at first. I looked to see if they were the odd shows. That's why they put them in there, odd movies. But no, they're not.
We're not going to go into that again, are we?
We don't have to. Everybody knows.
No, everybody. That is such a bogus myth. It's all based on the preposition of five. I think we did this on Stu's show, not ours.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
Five was lame. Seven Generations was not lame. Don't give me that.
I like it.
Three was not lame.
Hey, I like Generations. I liked First Contact better.
Insurrection was, I mean, okay, we did the whole rank your favorite Star Trek shows, and five comes out at the bottom every time. But every even show is not better than every odd show.
It's not even on my list, Chuck. It's not on my list.
Will be.
Yeah, will.
Will be.
Yeah.
It has to be. We have an assignment regarding that movie.
I know. I got it.
I've already been through it once. And it wasn't pretty. So, no. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because, you know, with the Blu-ray player that does the streaming automatically or you know, just on demand, that's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool, especially on a TiVo that does it too.
Yeah, and now the Wii, they have a Netflix CD that you can watch the streaming stuff on there.
Did you get yours?
I got the CD. The only problem is my Wii is busted. It doesn't read any CDs right now.
Well, so mail it to me.
It's got
to
go out for repair. What? No, you have to keep it. You can't just, like, trade it around. It says you must use this for every time you want to watch movies. Because I want to watch movies.
Is it coded for you?
No, it's kind of like trying to play Rock Band without the Rock Band CD.
Well, my point is, send it to me, and I'll send you mine when it comes.
Did you order one?
Well, I ordered one, but I haven't seen it yet.
Well, then you should be getting it.
Okay, well, we'll see.
You can't have mine.
Oh, come on, man. Come on, please.
SF Signal reports that South Park did a wonderful mashup between Tron and Facebook. Oh, my gosh. This is funny.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to see it. Was it funny?
It's about a minute and a half long. I can't tell if it's Stan or Kyle because I haven't watched South Park in ages. But one of the two is in the Tron world, and he's in the holding cell, and he goes, what the heck's going on here? And the guy in the next cell goes, I can't answer you. You're not my friend. He goes back to talking with the guy in the next cell. So I like walks on the beach, and he says, okay, I'll be your friend. Confirmed. Would you like to see pictures? I'd like you to recommend and rate these.
Yeah. I see where it's going.
So then the robots come out. Not the robots, but you know, the guardians with their staffs. They say, you are now supposed to fight the user. And then the guy who plays Sark, they kind of go to that setting where they're going to play the rings game.
Mm-hmm.
And they sit down and they have to play Yahtzee.
Yahtzee?
Can't we like ride light cycles or something?
That's funny.
It's funny. You have to see what happens.
I'm going to watch that when we get down here.
It took like four times longer for me to explain it than it actually is. It's a minute and a half long. So
I'll check it out.
Yeah, check it out. They did a wonderful job.
Now, speaking of a video that I did watch, this was an impressive little video called Pixels. It's a little, I don't know who actually animated it. Patrick Jean, I guess his name. It's like Lego bricks come out of, I know it's pixeled, but it looked like Lego bricks, you know, at first flying out. This broken TV the guy drops on a sidewalk, and you see everything from Tetris on the buildings to Donkey Kong.
Space Invaders over the city. Yeah, Tetris starts dropping blocks onto the building, and then they clear a level, and the building kind of collapses in the middle level.
It blinks. You know, it flashes like...
Yeah. I'd hate to be on those floors or the one right below it.
Yeah, it's very old school. It's
giant Lego pixelated frog goes hopping across the street and it's as big as the cars.
Yeah. That was fantastic. Yeah, I liked how the the Space Invaders were hitting the taxi, and the taxi would digitize and kind of fall apart
as it was moving. So like the pixels just kind of drift down the street as if it was broken.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Very neat video. Recommend it. We'll have this in the show notes, of course, along with everything else.
Take this opportunity to teach your kid about what a pixel is. Because Harrison goes, "What's a pixel?" And went, "Oh, well, let me show you."
Well, that brings up an interesting, you know, since we're on the old pixel history thing, which we tend to do a lot on Technorama.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody went into the archives over at Coverville?
I just actually, you know, all my stuff's in Google Reader now.
See, I can't figure this out because the date on the URL is 2010-04.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I'm looking at this wrong. Geekology spotted it, but it says Coverville, like show 161, and he's up in the 600s right now.
When that somebody got it wrong, because the blog post I've got in here, it goes straight to a post. It was posted on April 6th.
So. Okay, Geekology has the date of April 10th, but...
Well, see, what happened was I was going through my Google Reader, going through my podcast subscriptions, and I was flipping through, and I saw all these Coverville ones, and I was looking at them, and I went, whoa, what is this? Dark Side of the Moon, 8-bit. Oh, man, I had to download it.
I gotta play some of this. You'll enjoy this. Yes, please. This is money. It sounds like it's right out of like Donkey Kong. Right. You know the tune.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know this album real well.
Oh, yeah. I think everybody does. This album. Forwards and backwards.
Yes, I've had many late night talks with this album.
Used to drive around my Chevy van, listen to this on cassette.
Cruising the strip in Appleton, Wisconsin.
No, this was before I moved to Appleton.
Okay.
This is way back in Marquette, Michigan.
Oh,
a lot of fun. You can find all of these over on YouTube.
It was some Indian name place up in Wisconsin.
Wawa Manahanawana.
Is that a place, really?
We were watching some comedian in Appleton years and years ago. He said, Why is every town in Wisconsin start with an M or a W? Wana mana hana ma wana.
I was watching a movie the other day, and I saw they mentioned Appleton, Wisconsin. I was like, hey, I know somebody there. I was talking to the TV screen.
And they didn't respond.
No. No.
All right, are
this next one?
Speaking of the dark, we went from the dark side of the moon to the dark bedroom. Oh, are you afraid of the dark? If so, you may be in the market for a lightsaber nightlight. I want one of these. How much are they?
This I don't know how much this thing is, but it is actually pretty cool. I doubt Kim would let me have one in our bedroom.
Can you, when you turn it on, does it make the sound?
Yeah, it hums.
This sound. It would hum all night. That would be soothing, really.
Oh, look. You can pre-order it now for $25. Actually, it's a remote-controlled nightlight. You plug it on your wall, and the lightsaber goes up. I guess you could point it down if you wanted to.
Remote control? Really?
It's a remote control. Yeah, change colors with remote control.
They need one of these at
ThinkGeek.
From
the light side to the dark side. Huh?
They need one of these at ThinkGeek.com.
Here you go. This sweet remote-controlled wall-mount lightsaber light is able to change into 7 colors and can be adjusted via the remote from the bed.
It changes colors. I thought you had to order one of the colors.
No, 7 different color effects plus audio spectrum mode. Oh, I guess they'll flip
so you
around.
Can oh like mood lighting, like the Christmas ornaments. So it'll go red, orange.
Hey, baby.
Want to see my lightsaber?
Oh, that's kind of funny, though. Yeah, $25. That's actually not too bad.
That's not too bad. I mean, for a nightlight, it's terribly overpriced. But for what you're getting, I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
I want one. All right, what have we got left? Oh, where did you find this picture?
On Geekology. That's where I found it. It came in my...
All right, I'm going to zoom back on this one. There is nothing. What does it say? There's nothing okay about this picture.
It's a robot with a rocket in its hand, shooting lasers out of his eyes while riding a unicorn.
And stomping on a Smurf village.
I sort of say, I think the mushrooms are telling why this picture is even made.
That's awesome. I don't know. I could.
I actually kind of think it's a neat picture. It's kind of weird.
It's a splendid mashup. Yeah, the unicorn is on his hind legs, kind of rearing up.
Missile throwing eagle.
The robot.
High beam razor.
The robot looks more like an oven with two doors. And he's got tank tread feet, which is interesting. You haven't seen that before. He's got Robbie the robot's thighs. And yeah, the mushrooms kind of make it look like there's a Smurf village under attack.
Like I said, I think the mushrooms were the inspiration for this show, this picture.
Now, it's an animated picture, but it looks like it's on some kind of brown wrinkled paper. That's an interesting background effect.
Photoshop effect.
I like that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Yeah. That's the missile throwing robot, you can't go wrong with that.
Bender's bad dream.
Yeah, that is his dream. Oh, this is awesome.
Kill all the humans.
Unicorns.
On a unicorn.
This picture scares me. It's a unicorn.
I'm afraid of mushrooms.
Yeah. Evil foul fungus.
I think that takes it to the end of the amusement ride.
Yeah. Wee-hee.
Please remember, if you're exiting the ride, to check and make sure you didn't leave any cameras, cell phones, or children behind.
Children.
And don't forget that Craig and I will be on travel next weekend. Are you going to do a show next weekend?
I wasn't really planning on it. Unless, well,
we could have a guest. We could have an open house and just let people Skype in.
Well, you know what? I'm going to be with T. Morris, so... If we do something from the hotel room, maybe.
The whole weekend? Sunday night?
Or not Sunday night.
Oh, you could do short thing. Just shout at the H2.
Yeah, I might do that.
It's so bi-directional.
I'll see him Friday night and Saturday night. What's that?
It's bi-directional, so you could like shout in either side.
Yeah.
And turn that into a podcast. That'd be
loads.
Well,
T, there's no shouting. He just talks loud. You can just kind of point it in his direction. You'll catch it.
He's gonna beat you up now.
Oh, man. Hey, lots of love, man.
That's right. Make sure he brings a copy of all the Twitter that you can send to Philip in Australia.
Yes.
We mentioned that Craig is going to be at Create South April 17th, and I will be in San Diego April 18th. If you want to catch up with either one of us, let us know. This is coming out this week, and we'll let you know of other upcoming travel plans. What does the old iPod say for how many days are left till Dragon Con?
144.
You know that already. 144 is the square root of 12. That's gross. How come I got 145? You must be leaving a day before I am.
Well, actually, we're both wrong. When this show comes out...
Well, that's true. From the time this is recorded...
Somebody mentioned in the chat room... Oh, it was Gru. I did a Thursday. He counted
down
for Thursday.
I've got the magic countdown timer using the picture of us in the TARDIS as the backdrop.
Well, that's actually what my lock screen looks like.
Just a whole lot of fun.
I get to unlock the TARDIS and then I'm in.
There you go. Well, how come you were late to recording the show tonight if you've got a TARDIS?
What? Not tardy.
You can't spell TARDIS without spelling tardy.
I know. Yeah, you're right.
Use it twice and you're a retardis.
Okay, that's enough.
We'll stop there and keep going.
No, let's stop.
We appreciate your support. If you like the show or you just want to make any comments about how rude we are, there are many ways to let us know. You can call the listener line 206-222-2428. If you're in the UK, you could use your Skype connection and just put Chuck Chat in there and do it for free. That's the cool thing about Skype. We have an answering machine standing by all hours, all night. Our operators are standing by.
I was going to say the same thing.
To take your call.
Operators are standing by.
Or you can just email us an MP3 or flat out good old fashioned email.
The 12th caller wins at
chat.com. Stop. I'm having a hard enough time thinking on my feet. Follow us on Twitter, C. Tomasi, Step K, or Technorama. There's all kinds of good stuff Marv is throwing in there during the week. You can stop by the blog. Make sure you subscribe, too. You want to pick up the subscription because things show up at very random intervals. Sometimes we got like three things in one day, and other times it'll be 3 days between articles. You never know. So yeah, go get yourself a fancy RSS reader thingy, majigger, techno babble, and subscribe. And if you're not subscribed to the podcast, why not? You got to do that too. You can do it all in one easy step if you like. Stop by the website for all that information. Chuckchat.com is where you want to go. Thank you to all the people who are doing the micropayments in the donut in the tip jar. We do have more content coming down on that special member stream or feed. You got to like that. A lot of good stuff. And eventually, you know, I think we will put that in the main stream, but don't know when.
Yeah, I hate to throw that stuff out to waste.
It's not,
you know.
Oh, thanks. You just called our members a waste.
I'm sorry. Let me put that. I'd hate to just let it just. I'd like to share it with everybody at some point.
You reach the wider audience, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's a better way of saying it.
After it's aged and fermented.
Yeah. Yeah.
And don't forget to take 2 minutes and go fill out the survey on the website. Just go to chuckchat.com/technorama. You'll see the survey tab there. It takes all of, 2 minutes? 10 questions or less? It's pretty easy, pretty quick, pretty fun.
Please? Please?
Yeah, thanks. Special thanks to Mad Marv for doing all the blog content during the week. We mentioned that already. Thank you very much. And Ustream, who keeps our modest live streams going on Sunday night and does the archives of the live recordings. Our chat room is provided graciously by thinstack.net. Thanks to Steve Rickyberg and all the people over there that help keep that going. It's seamless. It's fun. It's IRC, and you didn't even know it. Some days I can't even spell IRC.
This show
is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with all the great podcasts over at farpointmedia.com. They do all our hosting and stuff, and we thank them for that. Check it out. I'm sure you'll find a podcast over there that you love. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. And of course, a binary high five.
101. Whee, the roller coaster.
Game's over, losers. I have all the money. Compare your lives to mine and then kill yourselves.